This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Game Night with Matt Perrault.
It is Game Night, SB Nation Radio on a Monday night. So to continue from where I was in the last segment where he played you a ton of audio from former and current NFL players, current media members, NBA players about what happened over the weekend, I want to continue that into our interview here and our first guest with Sage Rosenfels, who's a quarterback. They played with five different teams in the NFL, former Iowa State Cyclone, and a guy who I love following on Twitter, and I'm very happy to have him on the program. Sage, Matt Perrault, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great, Matt. Thanks for having me on this evening.
Thank you for coming on, and I'll kind of start the interview with kind of a softball question, but what are your thoughts on what happened yesterday in the league that you used to play in?
Well, I wish that was a softball question. That question cannot be answered in 140 characters or less. That's for dang sure. It's an interesting time in America. It's an interesting time on this planet. The NFL is now involved in the whole conversation, and it's fascinating. I look at there's really three different sort of platforms going on here. You could really say four. You have obviously Donald Trump's platform that he has as president and the words and the agenda that he wants to push. You've got the players who are kneeling and who aren't kneeling, and those who support those who are kneeling. And you obviously have the fans who have their own opinions. And then you have ownership who are now involved, who sort of had stayed out of the mix for the most part before, but now are involved because their players, their employees have been threatened with, you know, not being able to basically speak freely or be free, and they were, you know, told to fire them. They're called SOBs. And also, you know, their product is under attack as well. You know, the president has attacked the NFL owners, basically saying, if you don't do as I say, I hope that your revenues go down and people don't show up. So there's a lot of moving parts in this thing, and it is day to day. But I do feel like we are finally going to start having this conversation about what the players want. What Colin Kaepernick, what he initially stood for, and whether you agree with him or not, I believe at some point here, whether it's him, whether it's, you know, Malcolm Jenkins or Anquan Boldin or whoever it might be, they're going to start having conversations with their owners since they're now united and working together on this to try to actually have this conversation that Kaepernick wanted last training camp.
I want to go back to your playing days for one second, because Howie Long today on Fox Sports 1 said something that was really interesting, talking about that the white football player in the NFL is in a very unique position because rarely you're a white male, I'm a white male, we're rarely the minorities. Yet in an NFL locker room, the white player is a minority. I was just curious, from your playing days, if this had happened when you were playing, how would it have made you feel, and what would your response have been if this was going on when you were playing?
Well, I think over the course of my life, I became more and more aware of what my teammates had gone through in their life, where they grew up, what religions they were. You got to realize it's not just black and white players. Mm-hmm. There's Christians, and you know, there's Jews, there's Muslims, there's atheists. There's Baptists and there's Catholics. It's all over the map. And guys from different places, guys from other countries, you know, Nigerian parents. You're really all over the map. And so for me, grew up in a small town in Iowa, a small, very conservative town. You sort of that middle America that, you know, highly voted for Trump. And you see, you know, how that was. And then I go to college. And you realize, man, these guys from, you know, Liberty City, Florida, and there's other, you know, South Side of Chicago, these tough places. I could not imagine. I grew up in this small town, and I only was around what I was around, and that was sort of eye-opening. And then obviously the NFL, where it's even, I think, more diverse, and people are from even more places. Man, it really is eye-opening to sort of see what these guys have to go through or have had to go through in their lives. And I was always open up to those conversations because I was always curious. Because I was, you know, from small-town America.
Former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels is joining us here on Game Night. You brought up Colin Kaepernick, and I find this to be fascinating because you're right about the conversation potentially going back to what Colin initially wanted to talk about. But is it odd to watch Jerry Jones and other owners? Jerry Jones took a knee tonight. He was the first one to do that. But other owners who are standing in solidarity with their players, knowing that, well, essentially the owners are the reason why Colin Kaepernick is not a quarterback in the NFL?
Well, it is a very interesting time, right? You know, as soon as the owners, their players were basically their rights were infringed upon, and they were called SLBs, and the fact that their bottom line might get affected here. Now they have jumped in, and I think that's a good thing, though, because at the end of the day, as I said, they can. These are 31 billionaires. Yeah, 32 teams. The one team's the Packers are owned by shareholders. Other than that, you've got 31 billionaires. These guys play in the big boy world on this planet. They're international businessmen. They go to the big boy country club, if you want to call it. I wish it was a big boy and girl country club. It's basically a big boy country club.
Right.
And these guys have influence, and they have international influence. And so I think actually these guys, these owners, can start being more proactive and actually, you know, be having some curiosity and asking those players to start. So what is bothering you and how can we help? And they do it with breast cancer awareness in October. They obviously have done it with the military a lot, in particular the last 8 years since 2009. They do it with all sorts of things throughout the year. Now with domestic violence, with the sort of current thing, they're proactive on that, right? So the NFL now needs to get into that conversation, and those guys in the big country club, they can actually probably can start maybe having some affecting some change around this country. That there is, I think, a lot of legitimacy to what these gripes are of these players.
You know, Sage, one topic that I think you and I agree on, and it's a frustration, I believe, just following you on Twitter, you're going to agree with this comment, but I'm curious how we change what people are seeing this protest and what the protest is all about. It frustrates me when I see people that on Facebook I went to high school with or college or whatnot, and they're calling this a protest of the flag or a protest of the troops or a protest of being anti-American. And I can't figure out why it's not getting home to these people that the protesting has nothing to do with the anthem. Colin just chose it because it was the platform that would give him the most attention, and thus look what it's turned into here a year plus later. We're all talking about it still. Why don't you think it's resonating or hitting home with people that the protest is not about being anti-American?
Well, I think the military, which does so many incredible things for us, for you and I, for all of our families, I mean, the freedoms that we have and the life that we live compared to the most of the rest of the world is unbelievable, and they're the ones that make it happen. And I think a lot of people, and it has been pushed, I believe, in society, and the NFL has definitely pushed it, this patriotism as of late, and really almost nationalism as of late. And, I mean, shoot, the NFL was being paid by the military, by the Defense Department, the National Guard, to do more of these exercises because the NFL is about as American as it gets.
Right.
And so there has been this push recently to really connect the flag with the military. But from my perspective, the flag means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I mean, you think the Puritans who founded this country, whatever the flag meant to them was different at that time. I've been religious liberty. At that time, they were fleeing religious persecution in Europe. To everybody, it means something different, and to a lot of people, it means the military. And that's so it's a very hard thing to sort of battle with, because the military, you can never say anything bad about them. So to me, it's just really easy bait for people who want to divide this country to say, what you're doing, you need to shut up, because it's affecting the military. And everyone has said it's absolutely not about the military.
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick in the first two press conferences he gave about this said, I'm not anti-police, I'm not anti-military. And now Brandon Cooks of the Patriots came out and said, look, my father is a Marine, my uncle was a Marine. I could never do what they have done, so I have tremendous respect for them. Yet he still knelt down, and Patriots fans booed those players sitting down throughout the entire national anthem, which I found to be pretty ironic, considering you're talking about disrespecting the anthem, yet you're booing throughout the entire national anthem. It seems like this is the culture war that the president wanted. Like, he saw this crack, and he decided to go ahead and attack it, and he's managed to find his way onto ESPN, onto Fox News, onto CNN, onto every outlet. I can't believe the coverage of this and how big this story has become. I know we're polarized in America, but are you even surprised at just how polarizing this topic has become?
Well, I'm not surprised if you go and watch or listen to Frontline's basically documentary about Steve Bannon, who was Trump's basically right-hand man in the White House for basically the last year. And he believes in basically dividing this country. You know, he believes that we need to make a sort of monumental change in this country, and you have to shock everybody And so if you look at almost every main thing that our president does, it creates divisiveness, and it creates right and wrong and black and white. And I think it's up to the rest of us to say, you know, we're not divided. And I think it's for the people to acknowledge and accept this isn't about the military. I actually thought what Jerry Jones tonight, what he did was great. Mm. Yeah, they're actually symbolically kneeling. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to do it during the anthem, but he wants to symbolically kneel that he wants to be now a part of this conversation. So if it bothers to be so much about the military, listen, the whole thing is freedom, right?
Right.
And I think
right.
that's the whole thing. Is this country is based on freedom, and we have certain things that you prefer to all do together, but part of that freedom is you have to deal with people you disagree with and you don't like the way they act, particularly if it's peaceful. You just have to deal with it. It's the way it goes, but look at all the great things that freedom does give us. So I'd always rather have freedom than no freedom, and it's not really my place to tell somebody else where they should put their hand in the national anthem, how they should stand, if their hat should be off. They can do what they want, but I know the way I'm going to do it.
Yeah, one more topic before I run out of time here, Sage. And I was listening to Greg Popovich today, the coach of the Spurs, and he said, you know, in America, if you're if you're a white male, you are born basically with a 50-yard head start with a 100-yard dash. I've made the analogy that I was born on the third base of life, and I always try to recognize that as being a white male, I'm never told no. Well, what I can't figure out is that why are there some people who want to say that if you are an African-American and you happen to be in the NFL, that you need a therapist, if you feel oppressed in this country, given what happened here in Las Vegas to Michael Bennett just a couple of weeks ago, and given what's happened to other players throughout history when it comes to their treatment with authority and treatment with the police. Are we ever going to get to a place where we can have an open and honest conversation that just because you might have money doesn't mean that you cannot be oppressed or racism does not apply to you?
Well, and not just apply to you, apply to people around you who don't have that voice. I mean, one of the great advantages of being a rock star or an NFL player, a congressman or someone that makes a lot of money is your voice gets a little bit bigger and you get to have more influence. So I actually think it's just the different. These NFL players aren't necessarily complaining about themselves because they have it so rough, though. We all know that as a black man in America, your chance of being pulled over are much higher. I mean, I see teammates on my Facebook, old teammates on my Facebook page, getting pulled over left and right. I can't tell you the last time I got pulled over, and I drive over the speed limit way too often, right? So we don't know what they go through, and I think it just needs to be acknowledged. And, you know, the people that do have influence, I actually feel it's their responsibility to speak up and say, you know what? Things might be good for me, but for my people back home, mm-hmm. people in my old community, it's not good for them. And I actually, now that I've made a lot of money, I've educated myself and gone to college and I've learned all these things, you realize, man, there's been some weird things and some bad things in this country, not just slavery, but institutional racism that is a fact. It's not fiction. And this stuff still goes on today. So this is the conversation that these players are trying to have.
I completely agree. Sage, thanks for the time. Keep doing what you're doing on Twitter. It's a great privilege to follow you, and I really appreciate the time tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on tonight.
That is Sage Rosenfels. Follow him on Twitter, @SageRosenfels18. I highly recommend it. He's really, really good on a variety of different topics. I have one more quick thing to say about this, and then we're going to move on to NFL and NBA topics coming up in the next hour. It's Game Night, SB Nation Radio.